Okay, welcome to the church that gathers at Bethel. My name is Josh, lead pastor here. We gather because by nature, Jesus followers are gathering people. That's just what we do. That's who we are. So there's not a Christian in the New Testament that doesn't gather in the sacred assembly. So I'm glad you're here because Jesus does something when we gather together. God is working in our midst. That is awesome, by the way. If you're new here and you're thinking, what have I gotten myself into? We just want to simply thank you for being here because we believe God's going to do something in your life. We fundamentally believe that Jesus can change you like he's changed us. So if you're watching online, welcome. If you are new here, we're going to welcome you. We usually applaud, but we have an awesome group of senior and junior high boys here. So me and the boys are going to welcome you guys to Bethel this morning. Me and the boys in Hope are going to welcome you guys. Sorry, Hope. We just want to welcome you guys to our church. Listen, we do really believe that Jesus can change anyone's life. That's not a token saying. If God has changed me, he can change you. And we're going to see that same in Samson. So this is part two of our Samson study. Really, it's the journey of the book of Judges we call Troubled Hearts. You might have heard of Samson, the strongest man to ever live, the most famous of all the judges. He was also known for his locker room behavior. Like, Samson's the guy that's taking the jawbone of a donkey and killing thousands of people. Samson's the one that goes through the cornfield and sees 300 foxes or jackals, depending on your translation, and says, I'm going to tie them up, I'm going to set them on fire, I'm going to let them go. That's just who he is. Samson is the one who the angel announced his birth and whose mom gave the Nazarite vow over him because he was an ordinary person, but God made him holy. And that's what Jesus does in our life. Jesus takes ordinary people and makes them holy. That's the blood of Christ over you and over me. But Samson's story does not end with all of these major feats of strength. Actually, Samson's story ends on a sad note, and we're going to see that in the book of Judges, chapter 16, this morning. Judges 16, 21 through 22. We're going to finish Samson today. So Samson took the Nazarite vow, and we've talked about what that means. He could not have anything grapish, right? No fruit of the vine, no raisins, and Samson, we know, goes to a drink fest. And we believe that he breaks that part of the vow. Second part of the vow of the Nazarite is to remain clean, meaning do not touch anything that was dead. And Samson goes and he's like, man, look at that lion I killed. And there's honey. Bees have made honey in the lion carcass. And Samson likes wild honey. And Samson breaks the second part of his vow to the Lord because his eyes desire that. And then the third part of the Nazarite vow is not to get a haircut. And Samson had not had a haircut from birth. We don't know how long that was, maybe 40 years. And in one swoop, he gives the Philistines through Delilah. He says, this is my secret. If you cut my hair, I'm going to lose all my strength. And they say, well, you're strong. We don't like you, so we're going to cut your hair. And so Samson loses his strength. The strength was not in his hair. The strength was in his vow. The strength was in the fact that God had made him holy. That was the power of God in his life. Why do I give you that recap? Because now you find a weak Samson, a bald Samson, in prison in Judges 16. So we're going to pick up where the Spirit of the Lord has departed him. And we see in verse 21 of Judges 16 that the Philistines seized Samson and they gouged out his eyes. They brought him down to Gaza and they bound him with bronze shackles. And he was forced to grind grain in the prison. Now, if you're someone who writes in your Bible or highlights, this is a verse that you want to circle. But his hair began to grow back after it had been shaved. We're going to come back to why that's significant. Samson's blind, he's shackled, but something happens to him in the prison. His hair begins to grow back. Now the Philistine leaders gathered together to offer a great sacrifice to their god Dagon. They rejoiced And they said to one another, our God has handed over our enemy Samson to us. When the people saw him, they praised their God. And they said, our God has handed over to us our enemy who destroyed our land and who multiplied our dead. When they were in good spirits, i.e. when they were tailgating for the whole day, they said, bring Samson here to entertain us. So they brought out Samson from prison. He entertained them, and they had him stand between the pillars. Samson said to the young man who was leading him by the hand, lead me where I can feel the pillars supporting the temple so I can lean against them. The temple was full of men and women. All the leaders of the Philistines were there, and about 3,000 men and women were on the roof watching Samson entertain them. Samson called out to the Lord. This is his prayer. Lord God, please remember me. Strengthen me, God, just once more. With one act of vengeance, let me pay back the Philistines for my two eyes. Samson took hold of the two middle pillars supporting the temple, and he leaned against them, one with his right hand and the other with his left. Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. He pushed with all his might, and the temple fell on the leaders and all the people in it. And those he killed at his death were more than those he killed in his life. This is the end of Samson. Let's pray. Father, we thank you through the blood of Jesus Christ that you make ordinary people holy. We thank you that you can take that which is profane and make it sacred again. Lord, we thank you that there is not a single person in our gathering today that is beyond the hope and the mercy and the grace of our Heavenly Father. Lord, we thank you that you are not through with us yet. Although we might have failed you, Lord, there is grace amidst failure. So, Father, be gracious to your people once again. Lord, for those who do not know you, I pray, Lord, that today would be the day where the spiritual eyes of their life would be opened and that they would run to Jesus. That they would confess with their mouth and that they would believe with their heart that Jesus died and rose again as an offering for their lives. Lord, save those that are far from you. Strengthen those that are near you, Lord. Be gracious to us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, sad story, don't you think? I wish I could say, cheer up, it's going to be better. But it really is not for Samson. So let's go back to verse 21 and unpack this. The first application I want to make is this. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Right? So this entire narrative begins in horror. Samson is seized and blinded. Now, why is he blind? Because they have gouged his eyes out. Now, I don't know how. I don't even want to know how. But what a horrific way to torture your enemy. I think back of the king Zedekiah in Jeremiah's day, who Babylon, they bring him back into captivity. And because he's rebelled, they kill both his sons and then they blind him. Because they want the last image that he sees is the death of his family. What a horrific way to lose your vision. But there's more than meets the eye here. Because from the very beginning, we know that Samson lived in a time where people did what was right in their own eyes. The Bible says it like this in Judges 13:1. The people did evil in the Lord's eyes or his sight. So Samson lives in a day where men wanted to do what they saw best and not what God said best. Sound familiar? Samson was a man who looked at a woman and said, I want her. And his parents said, she's not. He said, I don't care what you say. Get her for me. Samson wanted what he saw. Samson was the one that when he saw the dead lion that he killed, he went back and he got honey from the lion. The Bible actually says he saw the lion and he veered off the path. Samson was a man who lived by his eyes. And now he is blind. Be careful when you do what is right in your eyes. It always ends in hurt. It always ends in destruction. Samson was a man who was governed by sight, and in one instant he loses his eyesight. But if you think that's enough to get Samson's attention, it's not. Samson, at the end of his life, is someone who still prays, God, give me strength one more time. Let me avenge him for my eyes. He doesn't say, God, let me serve you. God, let me deliver Israel. God, they took my eyesight. Let me avenge these people. Church, when you live by what is right in your eyes, you will always reap spiritual blindness. You show me the man or the woman who's living by what they see, and I will show you a man who sees only folly. Be careful when you do what is right in your eyes. That's why we have the Word of God. Don't do what you see fit. Do what you know is right. God's Word is true. Helen Keller said this best. She said, the most pathetic person in the world is someone who has sight but has no vision. How many of us are that person? We have sight, but we have no vision. Church, be careful, little eyes, what you see. That is not a children's rhyme. That is a good principle to live by for the children of God. Samson, blind and shackled. And then something happens in verse 22. Bronze shackles, gouged out eyes, he's grinding grain, but his hair began to grow back after it was shaved. In the darkest night of Samson's soul, in a place where he is doing menial labor, in a prison cell, humiliated, it was in that moment that something began to happen in his life. It might sound simple to you, but the fact that his hair was growing back was a reminder that God was not through with him. See, for Samson, his hair was his crown of glory. It was a reminder that he was dedicated to the Lord. It was a reminder, his hair was a reminder that he was to live a holy life. And can you imagine Samson in jail, in prison, blind, thinking, I've blown it. God was using me. Man, I was tearing up the foxes. I was killing the people with the jawbones. I was ripping out lions with my bare hands. And now here I am. I can't see. I can do nothing for the Lord anymore. And in that dark night, God says to him, I'm not finished with you yet. Anyone need that hope? Because I believe there are times in our life where we feel like Samson. And so in his humiliation, we have what I call a divine but. Look at verse 22. It's not what you think I said. In the dark nights of his soul, he was forced to grind grain in the prison, but his hair. This is what I call the conjunction of mercy. There was nothing in Samson that deserved his hair to grow back. But church, listen, grace is God giving you what you don't deserve. That's grace. But his hair began to, you want to know what grace is, simply defined? But his ... Grace is you deserve but God. You're bald headed, but God says, I'm not finished with you yet. You say, God, I've failed you. And God says, but I'm not through. This is not the end of your story. And there's nothing in Samson's life that caused his hair to grow back. This is years before Rogaine. I mean, this is, there's no just for men. Like, there's nothing that Samson has done. Why is that important? Because God wants Samson to realize, Samson, it wasn't your strength. It wasn't your righteousness. It wasn't your holiness. It was Yahweh in him. And Samson has to get to a place where he is humiliated for God to say, but watch what I can do with you. But his hair. And I think some of you need that conjunction of mercy in your life today. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. On your worst day, Jesus is gracious. On your most humiliating day, Jesus is faithful. And unfortunately for Samson, because of the sinfulness of his life, he had lost his holiness. He had lost a crown of glory upon his head. And he had lost his strength. And I think there are some of you today that you feel that. You feel the weight of Samson's shame. His shame is your shame. I want you to know right now that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. The Bible says in the next verse, whoever calls upon the Lord will never be put to shame. So if you've walked in here wearing the guilt of shame for the things that you've done, guilt is I've done this, God forgive me. Shame is I'm no longer worthy to be called your child. Let guilt bring you to repentance and let God wipe away your shame. That is the gospel message. Only God, but God, can do something like that. Church, be refreshed because Jesus is the God of new beginnings. So if you're here and you say, I need a new beginning, I need that, you're in a good place. Because Jesus is the Lord of new beginnings for your life. Humiliation, but God, but his hair began to grow back. Verse 23, it gets worse. But the Philistine leaders, now let me just stop right here. This is not part of my sermon, but I'm going to make it part. I have time. Why? I don't know why the Philistines don't have a barber on hand to keep that hair shaved. To know that the strength was in the vow because of his hair, I would have hired a barber and said, you sit in prison with Samson. If you see anything, you shave it off. But they didn't do that because God was not through with Samson. Sorry, that's just how I think. Okay, verse 23. The Philistine leaders gathered together to offer a great sacrifice to their god Dagon. They rejoiced and they said, our God has handed over our enemy Samson to us. Now, here's what you might not know. Here's what they didn't know. This is God's subtweet to the Philistine culture. Because they inadvertently give praise to Yahweh, not to Dagon. Because for those who tracked with us last week, you know in verse 20 that the hand of the Lord had been removed from Samson. It wasn't the god Dagon that brought Samson into the hands of the Philistines. It was Yahweh who did that. So inadvertently, they gave praise to a god they didn't know existed. They were praising the false god, but they gave praise to the real God. That's the power of the one true Lord. And as we see, they are praising over him. They're singing over him. Listen, they are tempting and they are mocking Samson. This is what sin does in your life. Sin will always mock you. There's never a time in your life that sin will lead you to the place where you want to be. I think of the pastor who said it one day, sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and will cost you more than you want to pay. Sin will always mock you. That's why Satan, his character is he will kill, steal, and destroy. And that's what sin does in our life. It'll only taunt you, torture you, or trash you. So if we see anything in Samson's life today, do not play with sin. It will only lead to your humiliation. That's exactly what is going there. Mocking him over and over and over again. And listen, church, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Because if you read Revelation 11, verse 9, if you go back to Revelation, you can go there right now if you want to. There's these two witnesses described in Revelation in the apocalypse of John. And these witnesses are going through the street making great the name of Jesus Christ. And if you know how Revelation works, you know that the two witnesses ultimately die, right? And when they're martyred for their testimony that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, something happens. So God's people fall and they fail, and this is the response of the world. This is not Judges, this is Revelation. This is the end of the book. Revelation 9 says it this way: those who live on the earth will gloat over them, will celebrate and send gifts to one another, because the two prophets who had tormented them are no longer living on the earth. The world wants nothing more than to hurt you, harm you, and mock you. Do not think that you can be a friend with the world and a friend with Christ. That's what sin does in your life. It is a mocker. The world wants to cancel you, but they can't cancel Jesus Christ. So let me just say this very clearly. Beware the roar of the crowd. If you are living for man's applause, you will die by man's applause. It's exactly what is happening to Samson. But church, never forget, although the world wants to see you fall, Jesus keeps you from stumbling. That's the promise we have in Jude. Sin will mock you. Sin will tempt you. Sin will trash you. And it will tear you up. That's what Satan wants for your life. Verse 26. So the Philistines call Samson out to his shame. So Samson, the mighty warrior, as we've read, is led in his final battle by a young man. It could be a young boy. So Samson, this mighty warrior, is having to be led by the hands by a young boy. And he's coming out into this major horrific event. Now, what we've already read is that in verse 25, the people were in good spirits. They're waiting for the primetime game, but they've been tailgating all day. This is not the 11 o'clock kickoff. This is the 7 p.m. kickoff. So they've had a full day to get ready for the event. That's exactly what's happening. They're trashed. They've been drinking. They're in revelry. And so they're ready to taunt Samson and taunt his God. But something happens. He leans against the two pillars. We don't know why. We don't know how. But something in Samson, maybe amid all the smoke of the crowd and the cheers and can you imagine the curses? In verse 28, something happens in Samson's life. We don't know how the words get recorded. I don't know if Samson shouts this so loud that everyone can hear, or if Samson speaks it so quietly that only he can hear. But I do know God recorded these words eternally that you and me might hear them today. Verse 28, Samson called out to the Lord. Now, that's interesting. Because if you were here last week, Samson tells Delilah, I've made a covenant to God. And I believe Delilah interpreted that was that God Dagon. It could be any God. Samson was ashamed to use the covenant name of the Lord. But now something happens in his life. Verse 28, he calls out to the Lord God. Samson calls out to the one who is faithful and true. So a man that has been faithless, a man that is a failure, calls out to the God who is faithful. And when he calls out, something happens to him. Can you imagine? This is the same God that from birth had promised his parents that Samson would be a mighty man of God. This is the same man at Dan that God's Spirit rested upon him and he did mighty acts. And finally, he is calling out to this God. This is why it's so important, church. Jesus Christ is the one who can hear you. Jesus Christ, Yahweh, God the Father, is the one who can hear. Samson does not call out to Dagon. He does not call out to El, a generic God. Samson, in his darkest moment, says, God, Yahweh, you are the only one who can hear me. God, save me. Because he knew that God the Father, Yahweh, Adonai, is the only one who can hear. In your life, Jesus Christ is the only one who can hear and who can save. And the promise we have in the Word is that when you cry out to God, he does hear you. Jesus hears your cry. Romans 10, verse 9. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Why? Because when you call out, when you confess, it's calling out loud, saying out loud, God hears that confession. And the reminder we have in Judges is that when you are on your darkest day, if you call out to Jesus, he can and he will hear you. What a glorious promise is that Jesus is faithful. And then it says in 11, Romans 10, for Scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. You might be living in shame. You might feel ashamed, but you will never be put to shame in Jesus Christ. Listen, church, if you don't think God hears, he does. Jesus can hear you. There is not a single person here that God will not listen to your prayer of repentance. Cry out. Be quick to cry out to Yahweh. Samson continues. He says, Lord God, please do this one thing. He says, please remember me. Now, that's quite fascinating because I don't think God forgets. So Samson is not saying, God, I know you have memory issues. Can you just remember me one time? You see, in the Old Testament, remembering is not the opposite of forgetfulness. Remembering means to act on my behalf. So what Samson is saying is, God, will you again do something in my life? He's effectually saying, Lord, you have no reason to take note of me, but one more time, would you act on behalf of your servant? I love that God is the God who acts. He's the God who's still working in your life. Isaiah 64 verse 4 says, no eye has seen any God except you who acts on behalf of the one who waits for him. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you have a Savior who acts on your behalf. You do not have a God who forgets. You have a God who remembers. Even when you're forgetful, God remembers. Even when we're faithless, God is faithful. Church, you have a Savior who remembers you. Rest in that joy. If you're hoping that all of this changes Samson's character and his nature, you're thinking, surely God is going to remember him and he's going to repent and it's going to be a great ending. Sorry. Look at verse 28 again. He says, God, remember me, strengthen me, God, just one more time. With one act of vengeance, let me pay back the Philistines for my eyes. You would think he would get it, right? You would think a man who is so self-absorbed, at the end of his life, humiliated, mocked, beaten, blind, would say, God, I get it. I can't do it on my own. But he doesn't. He says, God, One more time, let's go down fighting. Let me take him out. And I believe some of you are like that. Some of you have been maybe in a sacred gathering like this for many, many times, and you've heard that Jesus loves you, and you've heard that you can only be saved by grace through faith, and you know that righteousness is not given by what you do, by what Jesus did, and you're still holding out. You know what God says about your life. You say, I can do it on my own. It will never happen in your strength. Because a life of self-centered pride is a life that leads to hell. And God's desire for your life is that no man perish, but all come to faith in him. But God will not force himself upon you. Would today be the day where your heart breaks and you realize it is not by strength or by might, but it is by the hand of the Lord where you find salvation. Ultimately, he wants his eyesight back. And Samson's life is no different than the Philistines. He prays. Look at his final prayer. He says, let me die with the Philistines. The Bible notes here in verse 30 that those he killed at his death were more than those he killed at his life. And we know the story, right? Samson pushes with all his might, and the pillars collapse. All the people in the gathering die, and Samson dies with them. You know what I think is so tragic about this story? It's that Samson, a man who had been set aside for holy purposes, died with the pagans. Samson chose not to live in the holy calling that God had for his life. And what's sad for Samson is that he was worth more to God dead than alive. Samson was not willing to live in the purposes for God in his life. And as I look at that, I wonder how many of us are like that? How many of us know that we've been called a holy people, that Jesus has redeemed us, but we're not willing or ready to live out the holy purposes of God in our life? And as I read this, I wonder, I say, God, why did you hear his prayer? Because you knew he wasn't going to change. God, why did the hair grow back? God, in this moment in verse 28, when he called out to you, a selfish prayer, he wanted his eyesight back and he wanted revenge. He didn't care about the Lord. He just cared about himself. Even in the midst of a calloused heart, God was gracious. And I don't have a good reason why God is gracious. I just know that he is. And I'm someone who stands before you, and I'm thankful God doesn't give us what we deserve. I can't explain it. I just know the Bible calls it grace. But I'm thankful God is still in the grace business. Because I don't want God to give me what I deserve. Because when we cry out to God and we say, God, there's no reason that you should listen to me, but God, if you can, would you listen to me? God, I repent. I turn to you. God is going to say, I hear you. Everyone who calls upon the name of my son Jesus will be saved. And I can imagine Samson in prison and even it being mocked. I can imagine him just agonizing and saying, Lord, I once could see, but now I'm blind. God, I was so strong, but now I'm so weak. God, you did so many things in my life, but God, now you're doing nothing. And I know this song comes way after Samson. But for those who are blind spiritually today, those who are stuck in your prison of shame, in worthlessness. For those that feel right now that God can never use me because of what I've done. I am guilty and I am no longer worthy. I want you to hear the words of this old hymn that I wish Samson would have heard. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Samson, you're blind, But now you can see. You see, in Christ we have the anti-Samson. In Jesus we have a Savior that says, when you are weak, I will make you strong. When you are blind, I will open the eyes of your heart. But you can't come to faith with a proud heart. You can't do it on your own. And that's the gospel. It's Jesus in our place. So we don't stand here as a holy people saying, look at how awesome we are. We stand here as people saying, we have sinned, we were worthless, but Jesus makes us worthy. Because there is grace in the midst of failure. And I don't know everything about your life, but I do know you failed. And I know I failed. And when we are in prison, that's when God can make the hair grow back. That's grace, church. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, today's that day. I believe God has called you here today to listen to His message that no one is beyond the loving care of His Son Jesus. Would you give your life to Him? You say, well, Pastor, what does that look like? It's just a prayer of authentic faith. And it can sound something like this. God, I can't do it on my own. I've sinned. I've fallen. I'm guilty and I'm ashamed. But Lord, I believe you sent Jesus Christ to take away my guilt and my shame. God, I fail so much, but I need a but moment in my life today. I need a but God, but grace, but mercy. So Lord, today I give my life to you. Remember me, Lord. Amen. You know what the Bible says about that prayer? It says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will. It doesn't say might. It doesn't say could be. It doesn't say one day. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, church, will be saved. I'm so thankful for grace in the midst of failure. Listen, God's not through with you yet. I don't know what you've done. I don't care what you've done. If you would give your life to Christ, if you confess, He is still working even today. And as tragic as the story of Samson is, it's the reminder that God can use Samson-like people. Humble yourself before the Lord and watch what God can do even in the prison. Let's pray. Father,